Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you. We're turning to that passage we have been looking at, Matthew chapter 7. We remember that we're conducting a series of studies in the parables, or perhaps I should say we're starting to conduct a series of studies in the parables, since we've only got to the first parable that we intend looking at, though I think that we'll move on to another parable next week. But chapter 7 of Matthew, one of the early parables of the Lord Jesus, a very appropriate parable, as it were, for him to begin with, for it's all about a foundation. It's all about a foundation. You're going to build a house, that's where you start, the foundation. Very important. And likewise, when it comes to being a Christian, you've got to start thinking about the foundation. Let's read then the words of the Lord Jesus, just the concluding parts of the parable. We'll start at verse 24 of chapter 7 of Matthew. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now we've been stressing what it is the Savior was pressing upon those who were listening to him. He's talking about salvation, and he's talking about the need for us to have a good basis for our hope of eternity. A good basis. Now many people, maybe you're one of them, are quite content to go through life thinking that when they die, they're pretty sure they'll get to heaven. And being pretty sure is enough for them. They won't bother their head anymore about the matter. Just to have some little confidence, be all right with them, that satisfies them. Now that's a pretty foolish attitude. You may well get by with such an attitude toward most, if not all, of the matters in life. But when it comes to the salvation of your soul, that is so utterly important. You cannot take any chance with that. You must be certain. You must be sure. You must examine the matter and come to the conclusion, it is well with my soul. Nothing short of that, nothing short of that can be satisfactory. Now the Savior sets forth the picture here. Two men, as you know, both of them building houses, but one builds on a rock and the other builds on the sand. We have gone through various matters related to this, and today I want us just quickly to remember and to notice that the house built on the rock, on the right and proper foundation, served the builder well. Whatever labours he had to engage in order to build his house on the rock, and the man who built on the sand, his labours were a lot less. He just levelled the ground. That's all he had to do. No digging, no hard labour, no wearisome hours of toil. He just levelled the ground and off he went. And his house was going up and you could see it rise every day, whereas the man building on the rock, it didn't seem to be anything like the same progress. He was disappearing into the ground, digging a hole. And far from any sign of a house going up, he was disappearing into the hole as he dug down until he came to the rock. Yes, there was a great difference in the labour and sweat and toil and effort that each man made, each man undertook. But it paid the man who built on the rock in the end. And every Christian has this comfort, this consolation, that no matter whatever problems may come to them as a result of them being a Christian, standing for the Lord Jesus, living by the Bible, whatever difficulty comes to them, it will pay in the end. And so it will. So it will. This house built on the rock, it served the man well. Remember what the Savior said? Verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. It fell not. And the man in that house, in the midst of this terrible storm that broke out, he likely was standing looking out through the window, listening to the howling wind, and watching the lashing rain beat upon the windowpane. And he was saying to himself, I'm glad I built on a rock. It wasn't the same with the other man. When the storm came upon the house built on the sand, it wasn't very long until the house began to creak and to groan and to shudder and to shake, and the occupants of it began to dread and to fear. The house is coming down. The house is going to fall. And they began, I'm sure, to regret that they hadn't taken the effort that the other man had taken and built the house on a rock. I tell you, boys and girls, when it comes to the end of life, if we have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it will pay us well. It will pay us well. There is a flood coming, boys and girls. In life there are many difficulties, but all those little difficulties are but forewarnings of the great flood. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this. Now men and women don't want to think about that. They turn away their eyes, they stop their ears, they don't want to consider this business. I've noticed as a minister, over the years there have been changes in many things. One of them is the funeral service of those who die. It used to be that when the service was arranged, the hymn sheet would come out, and on the front it would say, the funeral service of. It doesn't say that anymore. Instead, you will find invariably, if you attend my funeral, it'll not be on my hymn sheet. But today's hymn sheet is a service of thanksgiving. Do you know why? Even in a funeral, people don't want to think about dying. They don't want to think about death. They want to try and avoid that subject. How foolish that is. How foolish that is. For we must all needs die. We're going to die. And when death comes, it will then be seen whether or not we were the wise who built on the rock or the foolish who built on the sand. What are you standing on today? What are you basing your hope upon today? Is it sand under your feet? Or is it the solid rock of God's holy truth? What a joy it is to know it is well with our soul. We sung that hymn again. We sung it on Tuesday, the verses 1, 3 and 5, and today we sang verses 1, 2 and 4. I'm sure you know the story that there is behind that hymn. It clearly demonstrates what it is I'm saying to you. The man who wrote that hymn was called Stafford. He was a lawyer who lived in Chicago. He was a friend of the great evangelist D.L. Moody. He was a rich man, successful man, but he was also a Christian. Also a Christian. There had taken place in Chicago a great disaster. The city burned down. Most American homes are timber framed. Not like here. And consequently, in a rapidly expanding city, houses were being thrown up, maybe not that carefully. And when fire broke out, well, it just spread like it would through a forest. And Chicago was basically reduced to ashes. Now that was quite a disaster, and Mr. Stafford suffered through it in that many of his investments were burned up. But nevertheless, it didn't ruin him or deprive him of all his wealth. And shortly afterwards, he decided that his family needed a holiday in Europe, after all the strain and the stress of events. Business kept him in Chicago for a little while, so he sent his wife and daughters on to England. You see, the great evangelist, D.L. Moody, he was preaching in England, and he was hoping, therefore, you see, to link up with him and hear him in that time of preaching. So the family, his wife and four daughters, sailed off. But in mid-Atlantic there was a collision between the ship they were on and another ship, and their ship sank. And The first Mr. Stafford knew about it was a telegram from his wife, for she survived when she arrived in London. And I think the telegram just contained two words, saved, alone. Four little girls had all perished. As soon as he could, Mr. Stafford headed for England, and I understand that the captain of the ship he was sailing on informed him when they were sailing over the very area where the collision had taken place and his little ones had perished. And while that was happening, and he was naturally greatly moved, and his heart would have been broken as he thought of the dark night in which his little ones perished. But as he thought about it, the words of that hymn began to form in his heart, and it was very shortly afterwards that he compiled the whole hymn. Though, when it first appeared, there were only four verses in it. He later added another verse. And he added this verse because, specifically because, of what had happened to his little girls. And it's the fourth verse of the hymn. For me be it Christ hence to live. If Jordan above me shall roll, no pang shall be mine, for in death as in life thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. He realized, obtained great comfort from the fact that having built upon the rock, all was well. Even when such a tragedy overtook as this tragedy undoubtedly was, it was well with the soul. Is it well with your soul? Not a difficult question. Are you saved? Are you standing on the rock? The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the verse 1, writes these words, For we know, isn't that a lovely thing to be able to say? Some of you here can say, yes, I know, but some of you can't. Paul said, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, he's speaking about the body, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He says this body will perish, but we have a house that will never perish. A house that will never perish. And salvation, boys and girls, is all about us seeking refuge in that house which will never perish. No matter what else perishes, it will never perish because it's built by God. The man who built his house upon the rock is the picture of the man who is hiding in Christ. He's not relying on his own works, his own church attendance, or anything else. He's relying on what Christ is and what Christ has done. And the Lord Jesus, in his death, was providing for us a refuge for all eternity. Sadly, those who reject the Savior's words will suffer the greatest of loss. We cannot imagine, and no preacher could ever paint a picture by words of what it means to lose your soul. There's a little line of a hymn that runs, To lose your wealth is much, to lose your health is more, but to lose your soul is such a loss that no man can endure. That's the ultimate loss, boys and girls, and if you're not in Christ, that is the loss you will suffer. What did the Savior say? Verse 26, And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Wasn't just the roof fell in, or the door fell in. It utterly, completely collapsed. And the loss of our soul is an utter loss. An utter loss. Will you heed the words of the Lord Jesus today? Because that's what makes the difference. Those who are saved are those who listen to what the Savior says and obey him. Those who are lost are those who ignore what the Savior says and do not obey him. Will you give heed today to God's word? We've been hearing of folk who have sought the Lord down there at the ploughing match. One family, we understand, came in anxious to find salvation. They had been in the tent in previous years, had heard the gospel in previous years, And over the intervening time, they had been thinking about this. I'm sure not every minute, but nevertheless, over that period of time, thoughts about eternity, thoughts about salvation, came before them again and again and again, until they couldn't bear it any more, and the whole family came in, yesterday I presume, to see the man with whom they had spoken previously in former years, to ask them, can we get saved? That family's built today upon the rock, they're standing on the rock, they're safe for all eternity. And I'm sure they're enjoying that peace, that comfort that comes from knowing, and they're able to say, it is well with my soul. Can you say it today? Oh, boys and girls, can you say it today? May the Lord speak to your heart. We're going to bow in prayer. We'll ask just for his blessing. Dear Lord, I pray that it may please thee to apply these words of thine that we have read and been thinking about to every heart here. Lord, young ones, so easily deceived into thinking that there's no need for them to give any haste to this matter of salvation. They have plenty of time. That's what the devil would say. But Lord, it is not so. Speak today. Answer prayer today. Bless our school. Bless the labors of the men down there at the ploughing match. And then this weekend, Lord, in our conference and the start of the mission in this below, God, smile upon us. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.